You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Yes, thank you. Before we do our last song, it is a request. We had a special request tonight to do one, and we would like to do songs you like. So if you have a request, let me know, and we'll try to get it in if we know it or if we can learn it. But just before we did, I just, Leland mentioned that we've been doing this quite a while, and I just thank God for the day he had the vision, if you will, to start the Rec Room. And I'm so thankful that he asked me to do the music. I told him when we first started, I said, yeah, I can do it once in a while, but, you know, I can't do it every week and all. But I hadn't missed very many weeks. Probably I've missed about as many weeks as Leland has since we started. I love playing and singing, and I love doing it for the Lord, and I really love doing it at the Rec Room. But I've been praying ever since we started doing this that God would send me someone else that loved to play as much as I do. Of course, me and Dolores. And Dolores has been with us since day one also. And she and I look real young, but we've been playing together for over 30, nearly 40 years now. So I'm so thankful for her. But I've been praying the Lord would send me another musician, and preferably a guitar player, that loves to play as much as I do. And he did. Kenny Cowan came about a month or so ago to our church and came up afterwards and asked me if he could play with me sometime, or if I could maybe show him some picking and stuff. I had no idea he could play as well as he does. He is a blessing to me. As you can see, he's a lot younger than I am, so one day I'm hoping he can take my place when I can't do it anymore. But Kenny, would you please give Kenny and Dolores a big hand? We couldn't do it without musicians. I could do it by myself, but it don't sound near as good because they help so much. Here's a request we had this evening. When trouble surrounds us, when evil comes, when trouble surrounds us, when evil comes, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us. He sends his love on the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on a flood many days, he searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but he was not forgotten. God sent down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Jesus went down to the water that day. He was baptized in the usual way. When that was done, he sent his son. God blessed his son on the wings of a dove and on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove.
Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. And if you don't have a Bible, and that's going to be kind of tricky, isn't it? If you'd like to have one, if you lift your hand, we'll see that you get one. Matthew chapter 26. I want to talk to you tonight about a guy that I've never, as far as I know, never taught a lesson on, never did a message on, and yet everybody knows his name. And I'm just going to talk tonight about, where did Judas go wrong? Judas is remembered by all people. He's remembered as a betrayer. He's admired by no one. Nobody ever names their kid Judas. They wouldn't dare do that. That's a name that since the time, the day that he sold out Christ for 30 pieces of silver, that everybody has looked down on. It's a name of shame. And Judas is an unusual character because of all he was exposed to. Of all the people that shouldn't have gone wrong and did, was Judas. Judas followed Jesus. Evidently, he was impressed by Jesus enough to be a follower. And when Jesus chose his 12 apostles, Judas was one of them. And Judas was 24/7 with Jesus Christ. In Matthew 26:24, this is what Jesus said about him. He said, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." Now listen to this. "It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Now here's a place that abortion would help. He said, be good for that guy if he'd never been born. Let me tell you something else. You know what Jesus is telling us? He's telling us there's a hell. If there wasn't hell, it wouldn't make any difference, would it? But he knew there was a hell. And so he said it'd be good for that man if he'd never been born. And he knew all the time that Judas was going to betray him. Every time Jesus is mentioned in the Bible reminds us that he's going to betray Christ or that he has betrayed Christ. And Jesus knew that, and yet Jesus welcomed him into the closest of fellowship. Now remember, these people stayed with Jesus constantly. They saw him when things were good and they were with him when things were bad. You can tell a lot about people if you hang around them a lot and see how they react in different circumstances. adverse circumstances. All of us can act pretty good when things are going well, can't we? I'm amazed at many people, and I don't doubt their Christianity one minute. What I am doubting kind of is their faith, because some little something hangs up their life for a minute or two, and they just panic. You thought the world had come to an end. And yet we as Christians should be able that whatever comes, we can depend on Christ to handle it for us. That He can take care of it. But most of us evidently just seem like that, man, if I don't have the money for it, I can't handle it. If I don't have the strength for it, I can't handle it. If I don't have the wherewithal, I don't have the help, I don't have this or that. And we start wringing our hands and saying, what am I going to do? Man, I've lost my job. I've lost my insurance. What am I going to do? Well, are you God's child? Maybe we should be turning that what am I going to do to Him instead of all those around us, reckon? Yeah. Maybe we need to go to Him because He told us this. He said, I'll take care of you. He said, come unto me, all you laboring heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I can help you. And so He's with Christ during the bad times and the good times. When people were out to get Christ, He was with him. He was there when they were praising Him. Christ's days would be up and down. One day they're saying, glory, hallelujah, and the next day they're hollering, crucify. We are a fickle people. But Judas saw all of that. He's with them. He knew as much about Jesus Christ as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And yet something is not clicking in this man's life. Something is not satisfying him. And as time went on, Christ's ministry lasted about 3.5 years, and as they were getting toward that end of that time, there was more animosity, more hate raised against Jesus. We're beginning to see some of that today. Somebody put up the Ten Commandments, and there's a bunch of people just stomping and throwing a fit. Somebody put up a verse of Scripture and somebody just stomping and throwing a fit. Said, man, you can't do that. We're seeing a hate for Jesus that we didn't see 25 years ago. And I'm so tired of hearing about this gun control bit. I noticed that not one senator or representative said one word about drunk driving and the deaths caused by it. And there are more people killed every day with an automobile by drunk. And nobody says anything about that. They all just go to a club and order some scotch and water. Nobody's talking about any of the, you know. We are getting into a bad place. Well, things were getting into a bad place in Judas's time. And he knows there's some people after him. Evidently, the word out on the street is that they're looking for somebody that would sell Jesus out. Somebody that would try to trip him up for him so they can get him and have a reason to crucify him. See, we're always looking for a reason, an excuse to do something. They hated him as their reason, but they needed to make it look semi-good. And so Judas goes to visit them. And they said they offered him money, and I'm going to tell you what, that'll usually do it. We'll do a lot of stuff if a price is right. Hey. Heard about the guy that walked in at the, sat down at the bar. Beautiful young lady walked up and sat down beside him. He turned, looked at her, and he said, would you go to bed with me for $1 million? She said, what? He said, I'm very wealthy. Would you go to bed with me for $1 million? She said, $1 million? He said, I'll give you a cashier's check for $1 million. She said, well, yes, I would. He sat there and sipped on his drink a little bit. Turned back to her and said, would you go to bed with me for $5? She said, what are you talking about? What do you think I am? He said, we've already established that. Now we're dickering over price. Hey, we'll sell out. Now, it may take more, but we will sell out. And when they offered him money, he took the money. And then, let me tell you about old Judas. He betrayed Christ with a kiss. He didn't go say, this is a rotten man. He came in. Christ had been praying. He's in the garden. He know he's facing the cross. Three times he prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Other disciples dozed off. He'd come, wake them up, go back, pray again. Three times he prayed, come out. Woke them up the last time, said, come on. Said, those that are going to come and get me, they're on their way. And sure enough, by the time they got to the entrance or the exit of the garden, there's Judas. They've come with staves and spears and lanterns. They come out to the light of the world with a lantern. And the Prince of Peace with a sword. You know. And here they are. And look at verse 47. And while he yet spake, Matthew 26:47, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Hail, Master, and kissed him. He said, whomever I kiss, he'll be the one. And they arrested Jesus. Took him into the court, kangaroo court. The next few hours at night are a very busy time in Jerusalem. They put up a mock trial. They've got a rigged verdict. We've seen the justice system at its best. In fact, justice was totally absent. Pilate three times said, I find no fault in this man. He was acquitted three times by Pilate, was acquitted one time by Herod, and they still crucified him. And it seems that Judas didn't realize how deep all this is going to go. Because now look at Matthew chapter 27 and verse 1. It said, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, I don't think Judas ever realized the depth in which they hated Jesus. I don't know what he thought was going to happen, but when he saw that Christ was condemned, they're going to kill him. The guy I just betrayed, the guy I snitched on, the guy I turned in, they're going to kill him. And said, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Now notice, repented himself. He didn't turn and run to God. He didn't go ask forgiveness. He repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. What a finish. What a tragic ending for one of the 12. Notice that after those years he spent with Christ, he knew he was innocent blood. He said, I've betrayed innocent blood. But again, he's trying to do it his way. He's confessing to the priest. He's confessing to the hierarchy. He's trying to undo it. I'll give you your money back. Instead of falling at the feet of Jesus and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Before that day's over with, there'll be a criminal hanging beside Jesus who will say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus will say, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. See, Judas wasn't too late. He just wouldn't do it. Why is it that we dig our heels into the dirt and keep saying no to Jesus Christ? Three things. Let me give them to you real quickly. Number one, Judas was called by Jesus Christ personally. It's always a personal thing. Jesus calling it. Salvation is personal. It has to do with you and Jesus Christ, with me and Jesus Christ. It is a personal thing. When the Apostle Paul was on the way to Damascus to arrest Christian people and to punish them, Jesus knocked him down on the road to Damascus and then said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He didn't say, why are you trying to beat up my people? Why are you trying to ruin my church? Why are you trying to pick on these innocent folks? What do you got against Christians? He said, what do you got against me? Why are you picking on me? It's me and you. Mano, mano. And it still is. That hadn't changed. He didn't send someone to get Judas. Christ called him himself. And he hid nothing. He invited Judas into the inner circle. They didn't have any meetings without Judas. They didn't get aside. In fact, Judas was so good at this. He lived such a good life that when Jesus said, one of you at this table is going to betray me, you know what John said? Is it I? You know what Matthew said? Is it I? They doubted themselves before they doubted Judas. There was nothing to point out about Judas. He was there when the preaching was done. He was a preacher. He was a teacher. He was a healer. When they went out and laid hands on people and healed them, Judas did all that. If he couldn't have done that, they would have said, I bet it's Judas. I bet old Judas is the one. Nobody suspected him. Even when he told him, whatever you're going to do, go do it, when he left the supper, they thought he went to give some money to somebody because he carried the money. They trusted Judas. Judas was the treasurer of the apostles. He carried the money. You don't let people have money you can't trust. That's why I had no rec room money. People can't trust me. Hey. Nothing about Judas on the outside. Let me tell you, this is scary to me. Because we can imitate. We can impersonate. But old Judas, he had every opportunity to be saved. Every opportunity to the very end. And he decides, I'll do it myself. I'll just punish myself. Went out and killed himself. Judas was called by Jesus Christ personally. Judas had every opportunity to be saved. Judas just never trusted Christ as Savior. The the very simple one thing that he could have done and solved all of this. We couldn't be talking about this message tonight if he just fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Please save me. I was wrong. He knew it was wrong, but he just couldn't get it out to tell Jesus. And the only one that can take him to heaven is the one he won't tell it to. We live in a time that a lot of people are anti-Jesus. Now, they're not anti the church everywhere. They're not even anti-God. But Jesus. And one of the things that they hate is because Jesus said, "I am the way." He didn't say, "I'm one of the ways, good way, best way, religious way, a nice way." He said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." That's the only way. Now, either he lied about that, or he didn't understand it, or he's Lord. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask you, and I thank you for being quiet, for listening, for paying attention tonight. I appreciate that so much. Let me ask you, have you personally asked Jesus Christ to save you? If you have, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody looking around, but if you have, would you just slip up your hand? I've asked Jesus Christ to save me in my life. Just slip it up and hold it up a little bit. All right, put them back down. Now then, quite a few did not lift your hand up. Listen to me carefully these next few words. You know you're a sinner. We don't have to deal with that. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And the Bible said he died to save us from our sins. He was not a martyr. He was a savior. So you know that. Now the Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. In your heart of hearts tonight, do you believe that Jesus Christ loves you, died for you, arose again that you might go to heaven? Because he said, if you'll confess that, he'll take you to heaven. In fact, he summed it up this way three verses later in Romans 10:13. For whosoever, that means anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord, that can be done anywhere, anytime, shall be saved. That's God's promise to you. Here's what I want to ask you. I'm going to pray in a moment. You say, "Leland, pray for me that I might get the answer, that I might know that I'm saved. I need prayer." Would you just slip up your hand and put it back down? God bless you. I see your hand. Anyone? Yes, I see yours. You can put them back down after I recognize you. Anyone else? Real quickly. I need prayer. Pray for me. Anyone? Real quick. Yes, sir. I see your hand. God bless you. And yours. And yours. Yeah. Any others? Right quick before we pray. Now, yes, I see yours. Our Heavenly Father, I don't know all the needs in this building tonight. I don't know the specific needs of those hands that went up, and I don't know the needs of those hands that didn't go up. But I do know this: you're meeting with us. you promised to do some things for us if we just trust you. So, Father, whatever each individual needs to do, may they have the guts and the courage just to do it. In Christ's name I pray. While our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed, I want you to stand to your feet. And on the very first verse, if you need to be saved, I want you to get down here and there'll be somebody that can talk to you and show you how to do that. If you just need to pray, there'll be somebody to pray with you. Whatever you might have, you may just have some questions. I want you to come on the very first verse. We want to solve them tonight. Don't leave here like Judas left.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Come on now. Do what God wants you to do. You know. You know exactly what He wants. Come on. See, He went to the cross for you. You can step out for Him. He went with enemies. You're with friends. Come on. Someone else. Come on. Come on. What does God want you to do? You've taken the first step. You lifted your hand. Now will you come? Step right out. Charles is going to sing one more verse. If no one comes, we're going to be through. I'm just asking you, have you done what the Lord wants you to do? That's all I want you to do. Are you turning it over to Him?
Why should you linger and heed not His mercy? Mercy for you and for me.
This is the chorus. Will you come? Father, we just turn all of this over to you. You know each of our hearts. We can't fool you. Just as you knew about Judas from the very start, he never fooled you. Fooled all the disciples, maybe even fooled himself. I don't know, but he never fooled you. So, Father, these that are here, that should have come, would you give them another chance? Help them to don't let them rest till they get what they need to get. Now, Father, bless your people. Thank you for those that did come. Bless our fellowship and use us to glorify your Son. His name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.